Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Yesterday, we brought you discussion on House Bill 1108, which originally prohibited instruction on gender identity and gender expression in kindergarten through seventh grade public education. Now, after testimony on Wednesday morning, the House Education Committee reconvened Wednesday evening for more discussion and their vote. SDPB's Jackie Hendry joins us inside the Kirby Family Studio for an update. Welcome back, Jackie.
Thanks, Lori.
All right, as we said, the bill originally prohibited gender identity and gender expression instruction. So what does it say now?
Well, during Wednesday morning's initial hearing of the original version of the bill's prime House sponsor, Representative Tom Pischke, kind of alluded to an amendment that would eliminate the terms gender expression, gender identity, and replace them with gender dysphoria. That amendment passed last night, so House Bill 1108 now prohibits instruction on gender dysphoria in kindergarten through seventh grade in public schools.
And what exactly is gender dysphoria?
Well, the American Psychiatric Association describes gender dysphoria as basically a feeling of discomfort that can occur when there's a big difference between the gender a person knows and feels that they are versus the gender others assign to them. So to boil that down, a person feels and experiences themselves as a man, everyone else tells them in response to them that they are a woman, and that causes a big degree of discomfort. Representative Pischke says his goal behind that language is to prevent young students from being susceptible to gender dysphoria based on things they're hearing at school.
How did the committee respond to the change?
Well, the committee passed the amendment last night, but as you'll hear, there was a lot of confusion on the meaning of gender dysphoria, as well as its use as a psychiatric diagnosis. The voices you're about to hear will start with Chair of House Education Committee, who is Representative Greenfield, followed by a question from Representative Deutsch and Representative Healy.
Anybody have any comments?
I have a question. What does the bill mean now? You're a kindergartner. You're not going to talk about dysphoria. I don't think teachers understand what that word means, let alone legislators.
I think what they're trying to do is get rid of the, I don't know. It's not my amendment, but it looks to me like they're trying to get rid of the word identity and gender. So it's not a gender issue. Then it's a dysphoria. But yeah, yes, go ahead.
I just want to recognize that gender dysphoria is not recognized as a diagnosis under DSM-5.
Again, those voices you just heard were Representative Greenfield at first, the question from Representative Deutsch, and that last voice we heard was Representative Healy.
All right, Representative Healy mentions DSM-5. What exactly is that?
That stands for the fifth and most recent edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is the diagnostic tool published by the American Psychiatric Association. There's some confusion there. That's actually, that last quote is not correct. DSM-5 does recognize gender dysphoria. That's an update when they removed the phrase gender identity disorder.
All right, what's the difference?
Well, pretty much gender identity disorder was stigmatizing language. That implies, of course, by basis of calling it a disorder, that someone experiencing this is disordered.
Sure.
There's a problem. The American Psychiatric Association did not remove the concept altogether because allowing for a clinical diagnosis of this experience protects individuals' ability to seek care in many cases. They officially adopted the gender dysphoria language in 2013 to more accurately reflect the experiences of individuals who live with this. And it's important to note, a fleeting question from a child about their identity, or from anyone about their identity, does not equal gender dysphoria. In order to be diagnosed with gender dysphoria, that requires ongoing and clinically significant distress brought on by being perceived as a different gender than a person experiences themselves to be. And that discussion wasn't really fleshed out in last night's committee.
Where did the discussion go from that point then?
It seemed to focus on two main concerns from lawmakers, one being the necessity of the bill in the first place, and the second being its implementation and scope.
All right. So what's the discussion around necessity? Start there.
Representative Pischke, again, the prime House sponsor of this bill, he testified yesterday morning. He didn't have specific examples in South Dakota of this being a problem, but he pointed to states like California and New Jersey that have policies explicitly welcoming transgender students or requiring LGBT history in schools. Senator Phil Jensen mentioned South Dakota constituents expressing concerns to him that grandchildren were coming home telling their grandparents they heard it was okay for two women to kiss, or that it's okay for two men to marry each other. Those complaints deal with sexual preference and activity, which are very different and separate from gender identity and gender dysphoria, which is what this bill is explicitly addressing. So Representative Jess Olson is a mother of a second grader. She prefers any of these topics are discussed at home with her child, but she adds there's a process for parents and others with concerns about what's happening in their schools.
If there are issues, first go to your school principal, the teacher. If this was something that my child was coming home and asking me about, I would be addressing it with the teacher, the principal, if that was not remedied, the school board, and then we could get to this level. But I think we're ahead of the problem because not everything is a nail, even if you have a hammer.
And that concern was raised by a few others on the committee that this bill oversteps legislative duties and that curriculum decisions should be left to the state Board of Education standards and other matters left with local district control.
All right, point number two, and that's the implementation and enforcement of a bill like that. Where did that discussion lead?
Another mixed bag here as well. Yeah. Representative Timothy Johns worries that the bill is too broad and that it precludes teachers from just answering questions about dysphoria or other issues.
Johnny shows up in a dress. How do we handle it? You know, there's these issues that come up all the time, and these kids are learning a lot of stuff outside of school through television and everything else that's now available to them. And I just think it's overbroad. If you want to say that there shall not be a course taught on this, then maybe that's what you should say. But no instruction doesn't give me a lot of direction.
Of course, others on the committee would disagree. Representative Steele, in response to that from Representative John, says the bill's use of the word instruction leaves students open to answer occasional questions, but does not allow teachers to regularly present on the subject. His explanation being instruction leads me to believe this is maybe an ongoing unit or
a
weekly discussion.
Yeah,
right, exactly. And he would disagree with the interpretation that teachers aren't allowed to, for instance, say boys line up over here and girls over here, right, or just answer questions about gender dysphoria.
Right. But to the point, if somebody shows up in a dress that the other kids are teasing about, a quick answer to the question might lead to a broader discussion. At what point does it become instruction? All right, where does it stand now?
A motion to send the bill to the 41st day, which would have effectively killed the bill, failed on a 9-6 vote. Some believed the bill warrants further discussion on the House floor. So ultimately, the House Education Committee passes House Bill 1108 with that gender dysphoria amendment by the same margin on a 9-6 vote.
All right, I want to go back to something that you said in the beginning of this conversation, or actually something that someone else said, and this is this notion of, I'm going to try to help you, help me get back to that point, I think, is Representative Pischke. And he's talking about the goal behind the language, preventing young students from being susceptible mm-hmm. to gender dysphoria. So as you've done this research and you've looked at what exactly gender dysphoria is, it seems like he's understanding it as something that can be introduced to a student, you know, because of another student having this conversation. Does your research show that there's any valid nature to that question that he has there?
There seems to be a difference in understanding of gender dysphoria based on what I'm reading from psychiatric language and what is being described by legislators in favor of these bills. So what it seems that Representative Pischke and Senator Jensen and others are describing is this idea that if a young child encounters a transgender person, they might come home and be confused and say, well, am I really a girl, Mom, or do I get to decide? And these could be considered complicated, well, they are complicated issues, but could be considered confusing and alarming to some young children. I believe it was Senator Jensen yesterday morning who gave an unspecified example. I don't know if this was intended, if this occurred in South Dakota or elsewhere. He gave an example of a young girl coming home very upset, afraid that she was going to turn into a boy. So their thought process appears to be that is gender dysphoria. We want to prevent that by shielding children from experiencing this by not bringing it up in school, and therefore they don't have to worry about going to school and having these ideas presented to them that could be alarming to them. The psychiatric language and the basis of the diagnosis seems to be that this is an individual who is already living in a situation where other people in their lives are not reinforcing their concept of themselves, and this causes them significant, again, clinically significant distress, and that can, you know, manifest itself into feelings of discomfort even with their own physical bodies. And treatment to someone diagnosed in this way could range from anything from talk therapy all the way up the spectrum to surgical changes to the body. So it really seems like a big difference in understanding of what gender dysphoria actually is.
Right, which brings us back to our point in our conversation yesterday, which was really about if we refuse to talk about some of these things, you know, when we look at this, you know, push for mental health care and push for health care and access to health care and access to mental health care in South Dakota, that by pretending that it doesn't exist, that causes real and legitimate damage to the people, to the families who are experiencing and sort of sorting through some of these things at home.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Hendry, thank you so much for following this, and we appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lori.